The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this May 13th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin, the Christian Griffin. We got our guy Tripp Upton, our buddy Tripp in the studio as well. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Gorgeous Wednesday. Gorgeous day for some baseball, huh?
It's gorgeous day. Oh, no. Dang it.
Boo.
Boo. That was the first word of the afternoon.
This thing you're trying to do, I don't know if you can do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. My brain is not.
I will do my best to not have to use the letter that starts after.
It makes the g sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
For no particular reason, but it is a fantastic day here on the radio with Christian and Jacob and our good our really fantastic buddy Drew. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's good to be back in the studio. It's been it feels like forever since I've been here. I have been through the ringer the last 5 days, man. Let me tell you what. I-85 and whatever back highways between here and Troy and Enterprise have been torn apart. I could tell you every house, every tree, every dead animal on the side of the road between
those potholes,
here and there.
Man.
Yeah.
You know how, like, when roads are built and all of a sudden after a month or two you start to see the wear and tear from the tires?
Mm-hmm.
Those are just for
That's
you.
From me. Yeah. Yeah. In the Jamarento. So, no, I'm back in the studio for a couple of days, thank God. Baseball for me continues on. I've been on the road traveling, calling games, and shout out to Utah's in here for holding it down. And, excited to be in the studio. Christian, you're here for the first 30 minutes of the show, and then you are going to burn up the road a little bit and head to Phoenix City for some playoff baseball. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but a great show on tap for everybody today. Our good longtime guest, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, is going to be joining us at 2:30. Going to get the latest updates for the Georgia basketball roster. See if they have any scheduling updates like Auburn had. That's I know you guys talked about yesterday. We'll hit on a little bit more in hour two today. And then doing more of a schedule dive into the Georgia football schedule as we begin to get into full talking season, where what does Georgia's schedule look like? Where are those tough spots at? And how can the Dogs get to the college football playoffs? So we'll talk about that at 2:30 with Jordan Hill. Unfortunately, no Double D, no Darryl Dapperch on this Wednesday. He's got some family things to attend. And so it'll be me and Tripp in hour number two filling the airwaves. And we have some good conversations there as well. But 30 minutes to start with you, Christian. Unfortunately, we had to talk baseball.
Oh, man, that's what you put at the front of our rundown? That's what you have to have me talk about today?
Yep, go for it. Yeah, well, it was a game that we were worried about. It was a game that everybody should have been worried about, and it's a game that, at the end of the day, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because that's bad. That's a bad mentality. That's a bad way to go about it. Only, well, Auburn lost, so it doesn't matter. No. This was important, and Auburn just didn't play well. Jack State proved why they were and are a top 25 team. They proved why they will be one of the best two seeds in college baseball.
Did you hear what we talked about yesterday of where they were projected?
Well, they've been projected in the Auburn regional. Did you tell me that they're projected in the Tuscaloosa regional?
No.
No?
It's a team we play this weekend.
Really?
You want to talk about two polar opposite styles of baseball.
Going
that
to
could
Stark
possibly
Vegas?
Played, no, the team we played this weekend. Going
to Athens. Oh, how about that?
A team that lives by the long ball and a team that just wants to small ball you away.
Put one
but
down.
Does show the power when needed, and Auburn has seen that a couple of times. But, yeah, that was in the most updated D1 Field of 64 that we talked a little bit about yesterday. Y'all, we could dive into it again a little bit more here in a segment or two coming up because, yes, D1 baseball has Auburn as the fourth overall seed now, which is a big-time spot. It shows that there's a little bit of you don't want to use the word cushion because by no means is that the right word to say in terms of feeling comfortable, but it shows that you're not at that spot of you're the seventh team or you're the eighth national seed before Georgia comes here. It makes it feel as if worst case scenario, you drop a couple of spots, but you're still a national seed, which puts you still at a really good spot. We've heard so many people talk about it. Chase Frelick did yesterday as well about that benchmark of 15 wins. Auburn was able to get that and then some, sitting at 16 wins. And yes, we're going to dive into the game from last night, but how funny is it that, man, we talk about the midweek madness. Auburn loses to Jacksonville State. Mercer destroys Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. So much so that Auburn jumps Georgia Tech in the RPI following a loss. Auburn now sits at number 2 in the RPI.
And it comes back to your strength of schedule. You make a road trip to Jack State in the midweek, you get rewarded for it. And, you know, that gets into the net ranking conversations in the quad 1, quad 2 that we talk about in college basketball, right, in non-conference play, where it's like, yeah, go on the road to Duke. Who cares? You don't even have to win it. You get rewarded just for playing it. This is one of those scenarios for Auburn baseball going to Jacksonville State last night and playing their eighth straight road game. These Tigers and these guys are ready, desperate to get back into Plainsman Park. Not because they haven't won away from it. They're just ready to sleep in their own bed for a couple of days.
Auburn, during this eight-game stretch, played UAB, who's a little bit further down. They are the 69th ranked team in the RPI. Respectful for UAB. But then they went to number 10. They then went to number 11. And then they just played number 28. So seven straight games with the schedule with teams like that in the RPI. And again, that's one of the more popular topics of conversation. Again, the RPI is your ratings power index, which is a whole lot of numbers in baseball, believe it or not. I know that's crazy to say that baseball is analytical, but it's basically the teams that you beat and then the teams that they beat. So obviously the wins help you, but beating really good teams that also beat a whole lot of other really good competition favors your RPI. And so that's why Auburn is so impressive that they have the number one strength of schedule in the entire country at 35-16. They have the 15th ranked non-conference strength of schedule, showing that, okay, not only are they playing in a tough league, but they're playing teams like Georgia Tech. They're playing teams like Florida State. They're playing teams like Jacksonville State. They're playing teams like, oh yeah, Nebraska, who's 14th in the RPI. Remember that series that you won all the way back? And it was like, okay, yeah, that was a good series win, but
after
nobody's going to talk about it.
Friday night?
Yeah, after blowing the opener.
Yep.
But we sat there and said, yeah, it's a good win, but nobody's going to really remember that. Nebraska is on the verge of a national seed or a top 16, a regional bid, which is really, really impressive. I mean, you can continue to go down this RPI list, but it's so, so impressive. And Tripp was reading out numbers yesterday about Auburn being number one in the country in ERA. And it was like, man, these are numbers that don't make sense. Being the best team in the country in terms of pitching and not allowing runs against the toughest competition that you're going to play week in and week out. And I think you are now at the point of this game, yes, although is frustrating, it sucks to get swept in the regular season against Jacksonville State, both at home and both and again on the road there last night. But it goes to show that that's so much more than just that small sample size that you may have seen, or shows the ability for Auburn to respond to the adversity. And by no means did you want to lose, but it gave you more opportunities to give some guys some ABs, whether that was for better or for worse, play some guys in some different spots. for better or for worse. And ultimately, by no means are we going to sit up here and say, okay, well, because you lost to a team like that, it shows you don't have what it takes.
I'm just mad because Auburn, you mentioned it, they went 0-2 now against Jacksonville State. And I was having a conversation with a good friend, Brody Thomas of Winter Timber Outdoors, who is a Jack State alum. And all I have now heard about is how Jacksonville State went 2-0 against Auburn.
It's weird. I feel like I heard something about some other teams a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk Tennessee if we want to. I mean, he got quiet when I brought up Tennessee, but
who, funny enough, sits at 35-18.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're bad by any means. But hey, phone lines are open, by the way. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, 334-321-1390. You could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Auburn loses to Jacksonville State last night by a score of 4-1. Jack State put up one in the first, a crooked number three in the fourth. Auburn finally got a run across in the top of the seventh inning, but that was pretty much it. One run on six hits. Auburn had an error in the field as well, and those pesky offensive woes kind of came back to bite Auburn last night. Haven't seen it to this extent as of late.
No.
But it got Auburn last night.
It did, and by no means are we giving this a get-out-of-jail-free card, but
right.
There is a big comma but there. Shout out, Mr. President. Just because of, man, we talk so much, and it's more of a topic of conversation in football or even more so in basketball about that natural letdown game, and by no means do you want to have it, but my goodness, you look at what Auburn's just done, and again, on that very last game of the road stretch, by no means are we going to ask Coach Butch Thompson next time we see him or talk to him, you were okay with that loss, right? But in the grand scheme of things, man, it's kind of just baseball, and we chalk a lot of it up to just being baseball, and for those that don't know the game, it sounds like an excuse, and it sounds like a frustrating way to explain it, but man, it's just kind of the way that the game is played, and Jacksonville State had another big opportunity to bump up in the RPI. You used your midweek guys and, again, put some guys in spots they hadn't been for a majority of the season just in case something happens in the postseason. You want some of those guys to have some ABs so that way it's not, okay, he's going to pinch hit for the designated hitter. His last at-bat was on April 13th where he struck out looking on three pitches.
Yeah.
That is the worst possible situation. And so I think there's still some positives that can be taken from it, and maybe that's the awakening of the sleeping giant to let you know not to get complacent for this weekend.
And same thing on the mound, right? I mean, you threw four different guys last night. Griffin Graves got the start, took the loss as well. 3 1/3, three hits, four runs, all of them earned. Gave up two walks, had just three strikeouts. He hit a batter as well. You got Chancellor in there. You got Kulik in there. You got Brewer in there as well to close it out. And so you were able to get all of those guys in because you never know when you're in the heart of a regional or you're in game three of a super, right? And you have burned your bullpen because game one was just a slugfest. And it's like, you know what? Griffin Graves, we need you. We need you for this inning. There's two on, nobody out. Our dude is struggling. We have nothing left. We need you right now in game three of this super. Maybe not for a long outing, but we need you to get out. We like this matchup. We like what we see. That's why you play these games. That's why you put in Kulik for 2 1/3. And he proved that he can get the job done. Two hits and three strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn has been very fortunate, and more so as of late, obviously, with the last month and a half. And you saw the stretches of frustration with the offense and then at times with the pitching staff as well. But what you've seen over the past 6 weeks is more so than not both teams or both sides really clicking and it bringing confidence. But, man, God forbid Sanders comes out of the pen and doesn't go lights out of 4 1/3 like he feels like he does every single time. Or Petrovic isn't able to get 5-6 innings on Sunday or in a game three and you need somebody else to go to. Or Sanders is having to be used in game one and then all of a sudden there's that spot in game two that needs to be filled. Having so many opportunities is, yes, it's very nice that Auburn hasn't had to deal with too many of those struggles. And yes, I know the struggles were the reason some of those changes were made, and that's the fantastic. Coaching adjustments, that's the selflessness by a whole lot of these guys on the mounds. But again, just being able to get guys opportunities so that way they are ready when the opportunity calls, so that way the lights are not too bright. And although that's a saying that's a little bit overused, I think that it's very, very important because, my goodness, if all of a sudden it's, all right, you haven't been used in a month, go get hot. We need you in game two in Omaha, or we need you in game two of a super regional to try and close it out, or we need you in game two of a super regional to try and get us to tomorrow.
Yeah, don't screw up, right? So with the game last night, again, it hurts to see Auburn lose that game. It's tough to lose to an in-state opponent like that, but it's not the end of the world. You look ahead to this weekend as we take our first break here on the show. Yet again, Auburn involved in one of, if not the biggest series in the country. Auburn and Georgia, top five matchup on the Plains, plus some other big ones as we come down the home stretch of the SEC slate. We'll talk about that, plus give you some updates on the high school side as well. All that here as we're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1804, two explorers set out to see what was beyond the Mississippi River. Meriwether Lewis and William Clark led a small expedition into the unknown. Across mountains, across rivers, across lands no American had mapped. Along the way, they were guided by Sacagawea, a young Native American. Her knowledge helped the explorers survive. After 2 years and thousands of miles, they reached the Pacific Ocean. Their journey revealed the promise of the American frontier. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking some college baseball. We'll talk high school baseball coming up in just a few moments. But looking ahead to this weekend as we are into the final weekend of SEC play. I mean, we talked to Coach Thompson about this yesterday, and it's like, and I told him, I was like, sir, I hope you're enjoying the ride and have enjoyed it, because we're going into the finale. I mean, man, I remember being in this studio running the second and third games of the year against Youngstown State for Brad Law when baseball was on ESPN. Yeah. Because basketball was on Wings. I remember taking on the Penguins of Youngstown State all the way back on February 13th, 14th, and 15th. So,
and then being,
February, March, April, May, 4 months ago.
And then being frustrated about the Cincinnati game. And then yes, being frustrated about the walk-off against West Georgia and how it needed to happen rather than just going and beating somebody. And we sat there and said, okay, maybe this team's not as good as everybody had projected. And Coach Thompson talked about that yesterday, about how preseason rankings were very favorable of Auburn, and then the shakeup towards the early middle part of the SEC kind of rattled things up, but Auburn's got right back to where they were quote-unquote projected to be. And so, man, it's so impressive when you look at what this team continues to do, but how quickly, as you mentioned, this season has not only changed, but just the maturity that you've seen from this team. And man, it feels like every single time something needs to be made or something needs to be changed, there's a conversation, it happens, and it works for the better, whether mm-hmm. that's hitting, whether that's pitching. Fielding hasn't really been an issue all season long. And so a very, very fun season so far it's been, and my goodness, are we hoping it continues for quite some time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This weekend across the SEC, the final weekend of the regular regular season. A reminder, because of Hoover next week, because of the SEC tournament beginning on Tuesday, all of the series this weekend across the conference are Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? So no SEC Sunday baseball. Everybody will be traveling, get ready to go over those next couple of days into the SEC tournament starting on Tuesday in Hoover. Big series, though, across the SEC. Comparing with the standings, you look at Arkansas heading to Kentucky. You look at Mississippi State heading to Texas A&M. Those two teams have something in common as of late. That's a top 15 matchup. South Carolina goes to Vanderbilt. No big deal there. Vandy on the verge of missing the postseason for the first time in a while. Top 15, or actually top 20 matchup, Ole Miss heads to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. That'll be a lot of fun.
It's a big series right there because Alabama has now slid into the top 8 national seed conversation as the 7th seed, according to a lot of the programs, possibly the 8th. And so they're obviously wanting to win that series and show that, man, they're playing really good baseball right now. They've swept 2 in a row against 2 of the bottom teams, yes, but we talk about how hard that is to do regardless. And, I mean, yeah, you're sitting there looking at it and how wild is it to look at a team that's the 18th ranked team in the country? That's the 7th national seed projection, according to a lot of the sites.
Yeah, and of course, Auburn fans will have their fans or their eyes on Tuscaloosa just because Auburn and Alabama are both 16-11 in conference play. Basically, whoever has the better weekend gets the double bye in Hoover. Because Alabama is 4th, Auburn is technically 5th because Alabama swept Auburn.
And how frustrating could it be when looking at the SEC standings because of the rainouts in Game 3 of Texas and Texas A&M, if Texas were to play that and take one, Auburn could jump State. Or Texas A&M, rather. But because that game is not being played, Auburn almost needs to win 2 of them, and Texas A&M needs to lose 2 for that to be a big factor.
Yeah, my guess would be, obviously Georgia has already clinched the SEC title. They'll be the 1 seed. My guess is that Texas will be the 2. They host Missouri this weekend.
Yes,
They'll sweep that series. That'll get ugly. A&M will be the 3. Alabama and Auburn, whoever has the better weekend, will be the 4. If they tie on the weekend, Alabama will be the 4 because of the tiebreaker over Auburn, which isn't a huge deal. You love to have the double bye to keep your pitching on kind of the same calendar and things like that. But
yeah, it'd be Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, at that point, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But that is what's up for grabs this weekend.
I do wonder how wild would it be, though, if State were to take, say, even just one of the 3, and then Auburn takes 2 of the 3, and so both teams have 18 wins. Texas A&M would then be 18-11. Auburn would be 18-12. But because Auburn has the head-to-head over Texas A&M, I wonder if they would find a way to bump Auburn up since that one game was not played. Because
I think they should be punished for not playing.
I agree. And I don't think Texas works its way into this conversation, even though they are 16-10 as well because of, again, the opponent that they're playing. But Texas A&M, Auburn, and Alabama, all at 16 wins. Shoot, you're at the point of if Mississippi State takes the series over A&M, they could be at the same number of wins as well. And so we talked about the log jam from like 7th to 14th in the SEC. You're now seeing a log jam anywhere from 2nd to 8th with Texas, A&M, Texas, A&M, Auburn, Alabama, State, Arkansas, and Florida.
Yeah.
And the fact, man, you just look at this SEC schedule and the SEC standings right now. And A&M, 16-10, Auburn won the series. Mississippi State, 15-12, Auburn won the series. Arkansas, 15-12, Auburn won the series. Florida, 15-12, Auburn won the series. I mean, it's absolutely wild to say. And Auburn did release something about an hour ago talking about they're going with their normal arms. It'll be Marciano on Thursday, Alvarez on Friday, and Petrovic on Saturday. So I guess the same arms, a little bit of that different rotation going back to Marciano in game one, but it's gonna be a whole lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah, Auburn needs Marciano to bounce back in a big way. He's had what, 2 of those performances where I would say he didn't do his job, right?
Sure,
I think he's had 2 of those starts this year. Auburn needs him to have a start tomorrow night inside of Plainsman Park. And so you've got Florida and LSU. Tigers are just bad, man. They're 8-19. That's how big of a logo series that is for college baseball, Florida and LSU, but it just doesn't matter. Tennessee, Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, even like the South Carolina Vanderbilts. That's a very big logo series in terms of historics. And I forgot the exact tweet that was shown on the graphic. It was actually from Jeff Shearer that they put on the SEC Network graphic. But it was talking about like the bottom three in the SEC standings had won like 8 of the last 16 College World Series.
Yeah, LSU, South Carolina, Missouri's at the bottom. Vanderbilt is the 13th team, though.
It's like...
Yeah.
Shows how crazy this year is.
Yeah, no doubt. But again, Auburn will be the focal point of college baseball this weekend. It's a top five series in the country.
Which, if you're picking up on that, what we're putting down, that means Plainsman Park is going to be the perennial site. And it better look like it.
Yeah, you got to get there this weekend, man. Got to find a way to get into Plainsman Park. Other series going on around college baseball, Georgia Tech heads to Boston College. That's a top 25 matchup. Miami goes to Florida State. That'll be a good one. Looking for any other top 25s outside of the SEC. You're not going to get very many of them. Don't worry. UCLA, the number one team in the country, goes to Washington.
Oh gosh!
What I'll give you $10 if you can guess their record.
How many total games?
Sorry,
that was quick math. That
50.
That wasn't fair. Okay, we'll call it 50.
Call it 50. Oh, there is a top 25 matchup in the Big Ten.
I'll say they're 28-22.
It's very gracious.
Oh wow!
Yeah, flip that around. Basically, 21-29.
Holy cow!
21 wins, 29 losses for Washington. Top 10 matchup in the top 15. Nope, top 20 matchup in the Big Ten. I got there. Don't worry. Number 17 USC heads to number 16 Oregon.
That will be a fun matchup. Oregon took one against UCLA on the road, and so that Oregon team still with big time postseason sights as well. And so that could be a really, really fun one. But again, it's like every single weekend in the fall, man. You look towards the SEC and you see so many numbers taking on so many other number teams with a heck of a lot of really good matchups this weekend.
Yep, so that's the college baseball outlook. Christian, you got to go, my friend. Get on the road to Phoenix City. Yeah. Plug it all quickly. We're going to talk high school stuff at the end of this hour. I'll be sure to plug it all for you again, tell the people what's going on. But you're hitting the road. Final Four for the Warriors.
It is, yeah. Y'all just made the Final Four. That's cute. I'm just playing here. They're a week behind.
Finally, we're in the Final Four. Yeah.
You're only a week and 5 days behind.
Yeah, we made the Final Four, and 24 hours later, you're playing in the Final Four.
Yeah, wild to say it. No, Lee Scott Academy taking on Glenwood, Final Four. It's crazy to think, man. You go across the entire state to play your postseason games, and when the bracket was released, you thought these teams had a chance of playing each other again. And it's happening. Lee Scott and Glenwood, the bitter rivals from the AISA to the AHSAA, arguably the biggest series in its history. And so we hope that you will be a part of it, man. Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, that Radio Alabama app. I got teary-eyed right in my open this morning. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, Tiger Country 104.5. Hope you'll be a part of it.
Yep, 4:30, first pitch for Game 1. Best of three series. Two games today, if game tomorrow. We'll plug it all and talk more about it as we go. But when we come back, we head to Athens as Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joins us.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Christian Griffin just dipped out of here. He is getting on the road, heading to Phoenix City for Lee Scott Academy Baseball in the Final Four, taking on the Glenwood Gators. So, Trip Upton in the studio with me as well. We welcome in our guy, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, who joins us every single Wednesday at 2:30. Jordan, we appreciate you joining us as always, my friend. Lots to get to for Georgia Athletics, but hope everything is good in your world.
Yeah, things are going well. Appreciate you guys having me back home. Plenty to talk about as we work our way through May. Kind of hard to believe we're almost midway through the month of May, but off-season football and basketball is rolling right along, and baseball's giving us just enough to keep us busy.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I know you personally don't cover Georgia baseball. You have enough other things going on. Olivia Sayer does a phenomenal job covering what is now the SEC regular season champion Georgia Bulldogs baseball team. But I know you're around it enough to at least appreciate what Georgia baseball has done this season.
Absolutely. And to clinch it, the second to last series. I mean, to be able to go into the last week of SEC play already knowing that you will be the one seed in that SEC tournament, quite the accomplishment. They've won at least 40 games in three straight seasons. Wes Johnson's done a phenomenal job. And honestly, very excited to follow that series at Auburn, which is going to start tomorrow night. Not going to be there, but I'm going to tune in. I think that's going to be a very entertaining game between two programs. I think very well could be in Omaha once we get to that part of the postseason.
Yeah, well, Auburn fans are definitely excited for it, and it should be a really fun series inside of Plainsman Park tomorrow, Friday, and on Saturday. But want to talk to you some basketball updates, and then there's more football stuff today than I thought there was going to be with Georgia Athletics. But do want to start with basketball. Seems like the roster is complete, right? 15 out of 15. Georgia seems to have all of the players that they want for Mike White and the basketball squad. Run us through what that looks like, kind of what stands out to you, and the highlights that people need to know about.
Yeah, they kind of put the finishing touches on this roster today. They added a small forward, Madin Kunai, who is originally from Australia. He's the last of the guys that they've signed. And I think this is a team that's a good mixture of guys coming back from last year, key contributors, and some guys that they're expecting to play significant roles right away. Now, the key contributors, I think there's four guys that you look at, and it's Smurf Millender, Blue Kane, Cannon Catchings, and Kareem Stagg. I think all four of those guys have a legitimate chance to start. I think at least three of those guys, Smurf, Cannon, and Blue, will be starters next year. And you look at what they've added, got to start with James Scott, the Ole Miss center, a huge piece. I think a guy that's going to determine just how good this team is, because you have to replace Samto Cyril. James is not the scorer that Samto is, but he's a fantastic rebounder, and he's an experienced guy. I mean, at this point, he's played at Ole Miss, he's played at Louisville, he's played at College of Charleston. He's got a lot of experience. Other guys that they added that I think will play right away, play really important roles. Freddie DeLeon comes in from Penn State. He actually started his career at Tennessee. He's a shooting guard. I think he'll be in the mix at the two and probably the one as well. Brady Dunlap, a sharpshooter they got from St. Louis, a guy that his father actually coached at Georgia as an assistant coach in the early 2000s. Brady's a guy that probably isn't going to play a ton, but is very well respected as far as his three-point shooting. And really one of the more intriguing guys that I want to watch and see how he fits in is Andrew Osasui. He's a 6'9". He's originally from Italy. Played at St. Bonaventure last year, and I think there's a chance he plays the four, maybe he plays the five, depending on some of the other center options Georgia has. But really athletic big man. They knew that they had to replace both centers, with Samto transferring and Justin Abson running out of eligibility. So feel very confident James Scott is that starting five, but they've got Andrew as an option. They've got David Ugonna-Ike, a guy from NBA Academy Africa they signed. Really interested to see who winds up playing the additional 5 minutes and what they're able to contribute.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Do you expect, with how this roster is now built for Mike White and Georgia basketball, I think we've maybe gone down this road a little bit, but now that the roster is complete, do you expect there to be any sort of ideology changes or I guess just game plan, X's and O's, strategy-wise, just with the way that they built the roster, do you see them going a certain direction with an identity this season?
I'm not as convinced they're going to play as fast as they did last year. I do think that this roster is a good bit bigger than the one that played last year, and that's what makes me really interested when we talk about the starting five. If I had to write it out right now, I think you're talking about really the biggest change from last year. Blue Kane played more of the two compared to the three, and he did both last year, and he's played some shooting guard there in the past. But I think that this lineup with the guys they've added might be a little bigger, so they don't play at quite the pace. But they've got other options. I mean, to me, really the key is, do they really want the Penn State transfer, Freddie DeLeon, to be in the starting lineup, or would they rather him come off the bench and probably being their leading scorer off the bench? Mm-hmm. That's sort of, just based on what I've seen, what I think makes the most sense. But I'm not convinced they'll play quite as fast, because There were times that looked really good and they took advantage of it, but there were other times I think it kind of left them susceptible defensively. And Mike White's kind of been more of a defensive first coach really in his entire career. I don't know that they'll push the pace like they did last year, but I mean, they had considerable success doing that. They may kind of get this group in and see if they're comfortable playing at that pace or if they do want to slow it down a little bit.
Well, that's what's happening on the Georgia basketball side, where a busy offseason starting to slow down just a little bit. But, of course, football never slows down, Jordan. You know that better than anybody. And you had a tweet that you put out earlier today, quote-tweeting Brandon Marcello, of course, a national college football writer and reporter for CBS Sports, where he reported that ESPN has been, quote, pretty clear to commissioners that it prefers the college football playoff remain at 12, and if expansion has to happen, that it needs to be no larger than 16 teams. That is what ESPN has said, and you had a response to that, and I love this. It says, surely this is about what's good for the game and not about other networks getting in on ESPN's action. I think you hit it spot on, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear what's in play here. I mean, if the playoff expands, you're opening up an opportunity where, you know, as it is right now, ESPN has all of the playoff games. But if you expand it, especially if you expand it to 24 teams, I think you open up an opportunity where they kind of renegotiate what the TV contracts look like with the playoff. And not knowing the exact language that's in the current contract, I can't say for sure what that will look like or what number it would take, but I think that that's a big reason why you have a conference like the Big Ten, which has TV deals with Fox. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of why, you know, the Big Ten wants this to happen, is because their TV provider can get involved and perhaps get some of these playoff games. So, you know, maybe this is coming from someone who's a little biased. I think 24 is a bridge too far. You know, it wouldn't be this simple, but to say we're basically going to take the top 25 in the country and put them in a playoff, that just is absurd to me. I think 16 is as far as it should go, but money talks and everything else walks, and I think that's where we're walking into. And what I will say, and Brandon did a very good job, I was actually just before we got on here watching a video he recorded coming out of ACC spring meetings. SEC spring meetings in a couple weeks is going to be something that everybody needs to pay attention to, because that's going to be the debate, the big conversation. It's at 12 teams right now. Mm-hmm. Does the SEC stick with, for a while it looked like they really wanted 16 teams, or do they get on board with the Big Ten and say they want 24 teams? And if that happens, you can pretty much lock it in that it will expand to 24 teams.
Well, the way that I look at it, again, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us on the phone lines. Jacob Goins, Trip Upton in the studio. Christian just dipped out heading to Phoenix City. The way that I look at it is, look at the professional playoff structure, right? The NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball, when there's that many teams playing that many games and that many rounds of postseason, most of the big companies, even if it is ESPN, they can't afford all of that, and there is one broadcasting company somewhere that will pay an arm and a leg just to have the first round. And if that's for the college football playoff on NBC or on Fox or Netflix at this point, Jordan, that just, it makes sense. That's how the world works.
Yeah, I mean, let's throw in Amazon Prime, which they've really expanded. As someone who's a NASCAR fan, they do a significant number of races every year, and this will be the second year they've done that. I mean, my biggest thing when we talk about playoff expansion, and my big opposition, my big issue when we're talking 24 teams, there's going to come a point we just totally devalue the regular season, and we've done that significantly already. I mean, think about, you know, 5-6 years ago, when you talked about, you know, probably even longer than that, maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago, you lost a regular season game. And if you were considered in that playoff hunt, you're kind of going, oh my gosh, did we just miss our opportunity to win a national title?
We have to win out now.
Exactly. And you know, there was usually a little bit of wiggle room for maybe, you know, a loss, maybe two, but you were really pushing it with two. And 12 team, I'm okay with where it is right now. You know, I don't want to see a bunch of 9-3 teams, but it's like, okay, you know, some teams have played really hard schedules, they could still be in the mix. 24, I mean, we're going to be talking about 8-4 teams. You may have a 7-5 team if they got like the number one, you know, schedule in the country. But I just think we're getting to a point. I made this point last week, I think, on our podcast. You know, I've made a lot of comparisons to the NFL with college football, where this thing is headed. And you look at any team that won a Super Bowl, and if you're not like a diehard fan of that team, if I just say, you know, hey, how many games did the Seahawks lose last year? I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah.
And it's because it doesn't really matter. You just need to get in the playoff. You're playing really well. All that doesn't matter. And I think we're headed in that direction with college football. And personally, just as someone who loves the sport, I hate that. I think what you do in the regular season needs to matter more. And, you know, again, maybe you get a pass here or there with one loss, two might be pushing it. But with a 2014 playoff, I mean, we're talking about 8-4 teams, and that's just a bridge too far for me.
Jordan, this is Tripp Upton in the studio, and I was just wondering, you talk about the regular season, Georgia making headlines this past week, canceling that 27-28 home-and-home series with Florida State. They're looking at a potential neutral site for that 2028 season. I know they listed, you know, 6 or 7 sites on there across the Southeast for that matchup, and that's a big matchup out of conference, especially regionally. Just kind of talk to me and talk to the people what they like need to know about that, and kind of what the process, at least what you've heard on having that game, A, the home and home canceled, and B, rescheduled to a neutral site.
I think it's sort of the way of the world in college football right now. And again, as someone who really loves the sport, I hate to see this because it comes down to money. They know, both sides know, they're going to get more money by making this a neutral site game and having it in, you know, there was, I think, 7 cities that were listed in there. Mm-hmm. You know, having it in Atlanta, having it in Nashville, having it in Orlando or Tampa, and being able to get more money through the contracts with that stadium and whichever sponsorship is going to be attached to that game. So I really hate this for fans of college football, specifically season ticket holders. You're taking
right.
more of these games off campus. If I'm a season ticket holder, what are you selling me on? But, you know, let me read you Georgia's non-conference games that are home this year: Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, and Georgia Tech. And, you know, there are some pretty good home games in conference play: Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Auburn. But, I mean, to take some of your better non-conference games and say, well, we're going to play these somewhere else, and, you know, you could get tickets that way. I just think it's such a disservice at a time where I've made this point in the past as well. It's just so easy just to watch these games on TV. Depending on where your seats are, you might get a better view. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about food. I know that you've got to make money, and that they're going to look for all the ways to generate revenue at a point when you're sharing revenue with athletes. But I think it's a shame, especially because let's not act like they wouldn't make money on these games on campus. They just know that the paycheck will be bigger moving it to one of these cities.
Well, it's one of the few things that Auburn and Georgia fans have in common right now. Mad at their team for moving a home game. Auburn, of course, sold off its home game to Baylor to start the season. Sold that to Mercedes-Benz there in Atlanta. So Georgia will take on Florida State sometime, somewhere, and I guess we'll have to find out. Thankfully, it's a couple of years down the road. And when that news breaks, and all other news breaks for Georgia athletics, you go to Jordan Hill and you go to Dogs 247, and we're so glad to have him a part of our program each and every Wednesday on the phone line starting at 2:30. Plug it all, my man. Tell people what they need to know. It's about to slow down, I think, for you for a couple of weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. There's some recruiting news we'll be following in the next 24 hours, so I would encourage folks to stay glued to dogs247.com. I'm on Twitter, at Jordan Davis Hill. We also have dogs247, and we mentioned the baseball series. If you want the Georgia side of things, again, go follow Olivia Sayer.
Yes.
She does a phenomenal job for our site, and she'll give you the Georgia perspective as they get ready for this series that's starting tomorrow night. But, it's going to slow down a little aside from recruiting, but 2 weeks from now I'll be in Destin following along, which I really do think this is going to be a very interesting set of spring meetings as the SEC tries to sort of set the course – for college football. And if they go that 16-team route, there's going to be a lot of back and forth, I think, with some of the other commissioners.
I'm so sorry that you're having to travel to Destin, Florida to cover the SEC meetings, Jordan. Did you have to fight your bosses for that? I mean, I'm sure you fought back on it, saying, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to have all that good seafood. And I don't know how much time I'll get on the beach, but they usually have a pool near the some of the interviews. Maybe I'll kind of take a dip in between sessions.
I love it. Jordan, we appreciate you and your commitment to your craft, your commitment to our show, man. We love having you. You're such a big bonus to what we do each and every week on this program. So thank you for taking the time, as always. We'll do it again next week for sure, of course. Once we get into the summer and stuff, we'll take breaks periodically just to make it a little bit easier. But thank you again for coming on this week.
Sounds great. I appreciate you guys.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 247. Check him out wherever for the Dogs Junkyard Cast. You can find their podcast, but also check him out at dogs247.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little high school ball as we have updates for the Final Four. We'll wrap up hour number one with that next.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrap it up, hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Hopping on the phone with us as he does every Wednesday. Yeah, once we get into the slower months, we allow our guests, and they are so kind to us. We don't bring them on as often when there's not as much to talk about. We were going to do a scheduled deep dive for football, but there ended up being a lot more football news than I thought there was going to be, Trip. And so we had a great segment with him. We have just a couple of minutes wrapping up. Reminder, Christian was here for the first 30 minutes, and then he is on the road heading to Phoenix City. Lee Scott Academy Baseball Final Four in the 3A classification. They get to travel to their rival, to the Swamp, to the Glenwood Gators. I have called many a games in that stadium. It's very nice. Very nice ballpark. They've done some awesome renovations and turf there, and some double decker stands and things like that. It's a very nice Tim Fanning Field is what it's called. And so he'll be on the air 4:30 for game one. Game two will follow. It's a best of three series. If they need three, they'll play game three tomorrow there at Glenwood as well. So be sure to tune in on that. Tiger Country 104.5. And hopefully some of you were tuned in last night on.
I was.
Were you? Thank you. 96.3.
I always catch the seventh inning somehow. I like think about it, and then I tune it in. It's already the seventh inning. Perfect. I just listened to it.
Seventh inning was fun last night. Auburn, yeah. That's when we were unable to put up a run. I think we had base runners in the seventh, but then we shut down Enterprise in the bottom of the seventh. Auburn punches his ticket to the Final Four. Auburn High Baseball does. So what a phenomenal series that was between Auburn and Enterprise. Dude, you're telling me, man. That's a series that was supposed to be played Friday and Saturday of last week. It was played on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Just absurd. And not...
Surely you have time off before the next games.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you would think the AHSAA would allow us to push back our series by a day or two just to make it fair, right? Nope. Auburn will host Central. That's right.
Of course.
Tigers and Red Devils, baby.
What?
That's a tale as old as time. In baseball for sure, but in other sports as well. It's Auburn and Central Friday night, SEMO Field. We'll have the broadcast for you on 96.3 W Lee. So both teams that we carry in the Final Four for baseball. That's pretty good stuff,
standard of excellence, baby. Carrying the Radio Alabama and the Auburn Network banner.
That's right. Auburn and Lee Scott. That's what we have. That's what we do. And we do it better than anybody. So Christian's on Tiger Country 104.5 in about an hour and a half. So go hang out with him. But until then, stay right here on ESPN 106.7. We have a whole another hour coming up for you, where we talk a lot of college football. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. No Christian Griffin in hour two. He is on his way to Phoenix City as Lee Scott Academy Baseball in the Final Four against the Glenwood Gators. They go on the air on the Lee Scott Sports Network, they being Christian. He goes on the air a little bit before 4:30. First pitch is set for 4:30 between the Warriors and the Gators for the 3A Baseball Final Four. You can hear that over on Tiger Country 104.5. So you got me in the studio. Trip Upton in here. Our good buddy Trip is in the studio as well. He'll be filling in as he has for the last several days with me being absent, now Christian being absent. And so Trip going to fill in here for hour number two. But if you missed any of the first hour, we talked Auburn baseball as the Tigers fall to Jacksonville State last night. Why it's not good, but it's not all bad either. Plus, we looked at the big series coming up this weekend. Yes, Auburn, Georgia, but also other series across the Southeastern Conference. A couple of good series outside the SEC that are top 25 as well. So that was in the first hour. Also had a good conversation with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 in that first hour as Georgia basketball has its roster complete for the next season, plus a ton of updates for Georgia football as well. So all that in the first 60 minutes of today's show. If you missed it, be sure to go and check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, if you like college football and Auburn football, this is the hour for you. We're going to be talking about an ESPN article that just came out talking about ranking every team in the country in their conference based on their offseason, and Auburn really low, and I don't see why personally. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about a little bit of a recap, kind of what we talked about yesterday with Auburn basketball, talking about Wisconsin in Nashville. That'll be a great scene, and we're going to get Jacob's opinion on that because he was not here to talk about that yesterday.
Correct.
But first, some news for Auburn's home game to start the season from me and Christian, at least home in it, close to Atlanta. I don't know if I'm close enough to claim Atlanta, but it'll be in Mercedes-Benz. A game time announced for Auburn and Baylor.
Yeah, 2:30 kickoff time on ABC, so it'll be prime time in the afternoon on that Saturday to get things started in the college football season, and I like it. I mean, I think it is a very big game to get things started in the college football season. I think it's one that people will go out of their way to watch, yes, but will definitely have on somewhere, right, on that opening weekend of college football. And so for it to be Saturday, 2:30 on ABC, right, on Saturday, September 5th, to get things started in week one, that's a big deal. And I don't know if you've seen this, Trip. Auburn favored by 6.5 right now.
Really? I mean, that's interesting. I know that Baylor, I mean, you win on the road in Waco in the fall, bringing in a new quarterback. I wouldn't say necessarily an upgrade or downgrade. DJ Lagway being a different kind of player than Sawyer Robertson. I liked Sawyer Robertson last year. I was really high on him coming into the year, and he actually had a pretty solid year. But I think Lagway brings you something different. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of what that team. But yeah, 6.5 is, I feel like, is it weird to say that's kind of a lot for what Auburn expectations and reality has been?
I feel like Baylor's roster, though, is just not competitive. And that was the argument a year ago, was that Baylor's roster, pound for pound, man for man, position for position, does not stack up with you. It just doesn't. And that will be a conversation had going throughout the summer, right, getting closer to this game. But I don't know. I mean, there should be more Auburn fans there than Baylor fans. This should feel more like a home game for Auburn. It's a place that the team historically is comfortable in. Obviously, it's a different coach and a lot of new players and things. But you cannot overlook or overvalue how important this game is for Alex Golish and staff to get things started. And if you have thoughts on this, you listening right now, you can give us a call on the Auburn-Baylor game if you want to make a comment, have a thought. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Are you excited for this opener? Is this an opener that you will be looking forward to? Is this better than playing Mercer to open up the season, right? I mean, no shade to them, but kind of. It's a power conference opponent like we had a year ago, and we had those conversations about, man, if you win your first game, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to start off on the right foot, to build a little bit of a winning streak. You have two cupcake games after that. Then you hit your SEC stride. This is a big opportunity for Auburn in the opener, Saturday, September 5th, 2:30 in Mercedes-Benz. It's the quote-unquote home opener, right? As someone just texted in the text box, which is open at 334-784-1067, says, still disgusted that it was moved to Atlanta. And totally understand, but man, you can't overlook how important this game is for game one and year one under Alex Golish.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if it was, I think there's two different realities. If it had been in Jordan-Hare Stadium, no one's going to complain. It's going to be, oh man, I can't wait. This is going to be an awesome, you know, week one.
Mm-hmm.
But it also would have been different if it was a neutral site in Atlanta and then a neutral site in, you know, Arlington,
sure,
or Houston or even the Alamo Dome, right? And I think that that's part of the problem, is that Auburn went to Waco. They said, all right, we're going to go to Big 12 country. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on campus in front of a pretty solid fan base. I do think the Baylor fan base for the Big 12 is pretty good. And a team that's historically been pretty solid. They had won a Big 12 championship under Dave Aranda in the past 5 years.
Bit of a smaller stadium, right? Like 55,000 or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
They just redid a lot of it in the past mm-hmm. like 10 years. But, you know, had a Heisman and RG3 too. But it's a, you went there and you showed up for the SEC that weekend. And instead of them coming back here and being in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and they have to watch the Eagle flight. They got to do everything that goes in an Auburn game day. It's, okay, well, we're just going to go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I think that's where a lot of Auburn fans have the problem. It's the standard for we, but not for me. Like, I think it's very frustrating for Auburn. But I do like it as a Power 5 opponent. You look at some of these other teams that are opening the season. I mean, just a look, looking at the schedule at large, why is Alabama and Eastern Carolina the ABC game? Like, why?
Of course it is.
Of course, you have to show that for them. I mean, the Pirates, new head coach this year. Maybe they can have some spark. I forget who their quarterback is. I think they have another, like a transfer portal retread. But again, like having Alabama playing Eastern Carolina.
Yeah.
Let's look for some other.
I mean, it's the biggest opener other than Clemson and LSU in the SEC. Louisville, Ole Miss is solid. That's on that Sunday night.
You know how I feel about Louisville.
I do.
So, yeah, I mean, Texas State, Texas, Missouri State, Texas A&M, Austin Peay, Vanderbilt, UL Monroe, Mississippi State, and then, yeah, like Tennessee State, Georgia, North Alabama, Arkansas. Like, there's not a lot of for the SEC.
Hey, don't hate on the Lions, Lions.
I'm not. I'm just saying I don't think that they're going to go to Fayetteville and win.
I agree. So there's really only three legitimate openers in the SEC week one. Clemson, LSU, that's where College Game Day is going to be. They announced that. Then they're also going to the week two game. Is it Texas, Ohio State?
It's got to be. Yes.
I think it is.
That's two of the probably top three teams coming into the year.
Yeah. Louisville, Ole Miss that Sunday night, and then Auburn and Baylor on that Saturday afternoon. And right-hand salute, Trip. Hello, Mr. President. He has texted in. Eric at Auburn says, feeling a little PTSD, says thought Auburn was going to have a better year after the win against Baylor last year. And I think all of us fell into that trap, right? And we overlooked the idea that Jackson Arnold just had a good day running the football. We highlighted that,
right.
But it was like, oh, yeah, find a way to win. You did it on the road. You're 1-0. Yay, yay, hoorah, right? But there were a lot of glaring issues in that game that came around to bite Auburn. He also says, but this game is huge. Feels like a win, no big deal, but losing it, momentum, the Byron Brown hype, the here we go again feeling emerges. And I'm glad he said that because I have a question to propose to you, Tripp, but also to our listeners as well. You could text in your answer 334-784-1067 or give us a call 334-321-1390 on the phone lines. With this game supposed to be in Auburn, but now neutral site in Atlanta, does this take off a little bit of the pressure of winning this game? If this is inside Jordan-Hare, week one, game one under Alex Golish, I don't care. I would be on the borderline idea of you cannot lose this. If you want to win the fan base over week one, if this were being played in Jordan-Hare, I would say if you want to keep the fan base, you have to win it, right? But this is now being played neutral site, technically, in Mercedes-Benz. Does that take a little bit of pressure off of Alex Golish and Auburn to win it in week one because of where it's being played?
I think a little bit.
Okay.
I would say it a lot more if it was in, like, New Orleans or something where you're going to have a Baylor contingent there.
Mm-hmm.
There might be 20% Baylor fans. I don't know how many Bears had head east to the southeast to be able to work and be alumni. But like half of my friends, I had a lot of friends just graduate this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say a good 70% of them are at least looking in the Atlanta area for potential job and employment and living. So like it's going to be a home game in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does take a little bit of the pressure off because look at like the past two head coaches. When was the last time Auburn won a signature non-conference victory in Jordan-Hare Stadium? You lost to Cal when they made the return trip after winning in Berkeley the year before. You lost to Penn State. You lost you haven't had one in at least since I was there.
Yeah.
Maybe when you were there.
I watched Auburn lose to Cal when I covered it. I watched Auburn lose to Penn State.
2020, when you didn't have any out-of-conference
games.
Yeah,
2020 was just SEC games. I watched many of those, unfortunately, in person as well. I mean, it's...
Let me look.
I'm trying to think 20, off the top of my head.
Who did they play in 2019?
Probably Clemson was the last. Well, no.
They played Oregon, but was that not in Mercedes? That was in Texas.
In Atlanta. No, that was.
That was in Texas, because that was the Bo Nix game.
It was, but I thought that was in Atlanta. Regardless, it wasn't a Jordan-Hare.
It wasn't a Jordan-Hare, right.
Yeah.
Washington, I think that was in Atlanta the year before.
That was in Atlanta, yeah.
Yes. Looking there, 2017, lost at Clemson.
Yep.
2016, so you lost at home versus Clemson.
Jeez.
2015, Louisville, but was that?
That was in Atlanta. Yep.
Hmm.
That was neutral site. Yeah.
Interesting. At Kansas State for the next one in 2014.
That was a Thursday night game at Kansas State. That was the Duke Williams game, I believe.
You ready for it? If this is
it's 2013.
Washington State. Nick Marshall had 99 passing yards in that game.
My goodness.
Was not even a season low, by the way.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's just a crazy stat. Like that Auburn has struggled traditionally in the non-con.
At home.
Like they won in Berkeley. They won in, you know, competed in Clemson, competed in State College, won in Waco. But it takes a little bit of the pressure off. But having that win, I think, is much more of a momentum sale than losing that game would be a momentum. Well, because that's just kind of the standard around here right now.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said, Baylor fans don't travel, so don't expect a lot of them to be at this game on September 5th. I weirdly do think it takes a little bit of pressure off of having to win the game against Baylor because it's not in your home stadium. Because, look, Auburn fans, and rightfully so, are antsy to win, yes, but also antsy to get Jordan-Hare Stadium back to being a competitive building, right? I've said several times in my four-plus years of being on this radio station that Jordan-Hare is just another building right now.
Correct.
It's nothing special from a wins-loss advantage standpoint, and Auburn fans want to get that back immediately. And I think it would almost be borderline unfair pressure to Alex Golish if the Auburn-Baylor game were inside Jordan-Hare, and fans would say, can't lose it. Can't lose it at home. That's a bad start. That's bad juju, right? So I do think there's a world where Auburn loses a competitive game to Baylor week one at Mercedes-Benz, and Auburn fans aren't ready to, you know, pop off the bridge just yet.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, I don't, again, it takes a little bit of pressure off, but it is the
still not okay to lose.
No,
but
yeah, especially like when you're an SEC team, you don't lose to Big 12 teams, unfortunately. And that's no disrespect to the Big 12; they've got some good programs over there. But it's not like it's especially in Atlanta. Like that's the it's again, you're gonna have the home game environment without having the well, we can go to Byron's for breakfast, we can go to get lemonade for lunch. Mm-hmm. Like having the you're not gonna have that. Like maybe you go to like the Varsity and look, yeah. I will be. Hand up, love the Varsity. Have you ever been to the Varsity?
I have not. Christian has talked about it, and I have not been.
We need to go.
Yeah, I have not been, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's, yeah, they hustle you through there. They are not, it is not like
that's
a Chick-fil-A.
That's what I've heard.
They're like,
I've heard
all
it's
right,
crazy.
Hey, what do you have? Come on. Come on, buddy.
I love it. Well, I want to keep talking about this a little bit. Again, Auburn and Baylor, 2:30 Central Time kick in the opener, Saturday, September 5th, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And why this game is so important, because yes, that's your opener. You get one game after that, and then the SEC schedule hits. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll talk a little basketball scheduling as well, as Auburn announced their matchup with Wisconsin. I have some thoughts on that I want to talk about as well. All that here in hour number two on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Jacob Goins, Trip Upton with you in the studio, talking some more Auburn football and the idea and the fact that Auburn and Baylor will kick off the season in Mercedes-Benz Saturday, September 5th. Official kickoff time is 2:30. So it's in that middle ground where it's not the early game where you got to wake up, drink your coffee, do your chores and do your errands and get back home to watch and listen to it. But it's also not the 6:30 or 7 o'clock start where you got to sit around all day and wait for it, right? You get to have your feelings hurt early, Trip. That's what I get to say.
Yeah.
So, but looking at it, right, we were talking about the pressure for Alex Golish in year one, in game one against Baylor. And Bu and I kind of agreed that some, not all, but some of the pressure is taken off of this game because it's not inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Now, I'm sure if you were to ask Alex Golish or any of the players or anybody on the staff, they would say, we would much rather be playing at home rather than having to go to Atlanta. But you look at where this game is on the schedule, being the kickoff game, and what lays behind it. I mean, the more that I look at this Auburn football schedule, the more that I think it's broken up so funky to me, because you have Baylor to start, you come home against Southern Miss, home against Florida, home against Vanderbilt. Those are your first four games of the season, right? Baylor will be tricky, but it's not unwinnable. Southern Miss, you should win. Florida, who knows, right? What a great storyline that's going to be with Summerall and Florida with Golish and Auburn. Then you have Vanderbilt coming in, where they've made a lot of changes. And Diego Pavia is not there anymore, thank God. But Clark Lee is still their head coach, and I think he's one of the best in the SEC, genuinely. So those are your first four. Let's go ahead and say your first five before the bye week. You got to go to Tennessee on Saturday, October 3rd. those five games, Trip, I could see a world where Auburn goes 5-0. I could see a world where Auburn goes 1-4, and anywhere in between. You could tell me, hey, I'm from the future. I'm from Sunday, October 4th. Auburn is blank and blank with this many wins, this many losses, and any combination of them, I would believe you.
I know, I 100% agree. I don't, you know, I knock on wood, I don't think it's crazy to say that they're going to beat Southern Miss.
I would agree.
You know, especially with Charles Huff now being at Memphis, I think that's a big part of that. If they had him on the sideline over there, he's a guy.
It's maybe.
Then it could be like a, you know, Diego Pavia, North New Mexico State like situation. But
yeah,
like Florida, you don't know who's starting there week one, so you don't know what you're going to get. Especially, you know, if it was in the Swamp, I'd say okay, we're probably losing that one, but. In Jordan-Hare Stadium, again, I know we just said it's not a hard place to play anymore, but being at home matters. Still
yeah, it does. And it is a new era, right? And maybe Golish is the one to turn the juju around in that place.
Right, but you're playing out of the first five teams. I'd have to look at Southern Miss QB situation again, but you're playing probably 4 to 5 new quarterbacks because Baylor's starting DJ Lagway. Florida, it's going to be either Aaron File or the freshman that they have there. Vanderbilt, it's no Diego Pavia, so it's probably going to be someone new. I know they have that recruit the one that was at Georgia, and he's slipping his name is slipping out of my head right now. And then Tennessee, Joey Aguilar got denied, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that is so they're going to have a new quarterback. If not, it'll be Joey Aguilar, but that's not a guy you've played in the past couple years. First starting quarterback that you're going to play that was there at his school last season 100%. Is Gunnar Stockton at Georgia after that bye week. And so that's such a big part of that early season schedule where it's a lot of unknowns. You have, again, you know, Florida new head coach, John Summerall. You have, and Vanderbilt without their kind of, I would say one of the best players in their history, although I don't like him in Diego Pavia. And then Tennessee, who Alex Golish coached there. That's going to be a homecoming for him. That's an underrated storyline I don't hear a lot of people talking about.
And I feel like, though, looking at these first five games, if I were to, I guess, rank them in terms of difficulty, I'll say the Tennessee game is the most difficult just because it's on the road.
Neyland's just a hard place to play.
I would put Florida 2, Baylor 3, Vandy 4, Southern Miss 5. Ranking the first five games in terms of difficulty. So Baylor's right there in the middle. Meaning, in my opinion, from that alone, that's one you got to win. That's one you should win. That's right. One you need to win.
Now, if Baylor was in Jordan-Hare Stadium, I'd argue it's more important to win than Florida.
More important?
Or like harder to win than Florida.
It's more difficult to win. Why?
Or I'm saying, like, because there's more pressure on you.
Oh, because it's the opener.
It's the opener, okay. And it's at home. If the neutral site takes away from it a little bit, but again, you have more pressure to win Jordan-Hare Stadium than you do on the road.
Yeah, but winning that game against Baylor, again, you would start 2-0, and then at that point, I think a realistic expectation is to go 2-1 in that stretch of Florida, Vandy, and Tennessee. You have to win one of them. I would think Auburn would be a favorite against Vanderbilt, so there's three. And then you have to beat Florida or Tennessee if you want to go where you want to go, right? If you want to get there, because after that, you go to Georgia, home for LSU and Lane Kiffin, to Ole Miss, home for Arkansas, at Mississippi State, home for Samford, and at Alabama. If you can get off to a halfway decent start in the first five, you, unfortunately, as of right now, I'm not ready to give you a win against Georgia, LSU, or Ole Miss. All three of those teams are more talented than you, okay? Let's say you lose all three of those in a row. You have every opportunity to rip off three wins in a row after that, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Samford, and then you have the Iron Bowl. So let's say you're 3-3 in those six games in October, November, and you go 3-2 in the games of your first five. There's six wins. Bare minimum, right? Mm-hmm. Bare minimum wins of Baylor, Southern Miss. I think Vandy should be your third win. You then get Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Samford. There's six. All you got to do is beat somebody you're not supposed to get your seventh. You find a little hot streak, boom, you're an 8-win football team in year one.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really important.
That's all you got to do. We have a question in the text box that we will get to when we come back. It's a good one. We'll talk a little bit more football for Auburn in particular, plus the offseason for the Tigers. ESPN says they didn't have a good one. I just don't know if we agree with that. We got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Way through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. No Christian Griffin. He is in Phoenix City. He'll be on the air in about 45 minutes. As Lee Scott Academy Baseball taking on Glenwood on the road in the 3A Baseball Final Four. So be sure you tune into that. Game one is at 4:30. Game two is to follow in a best-of-three series. Game three, if needed, would be tomorrow. And we are talking more college football, and you can be a part of the conversation if you would like to. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. And we are talking college football with Auburn and the schedule against Baylor, but we're looking around at the just the general, I guess, consensus on the importance of the Baylor game, and if Auburn wins it, if Auburn loses it, right, what that means for the rest of the season. Have a really good question in the text box we're going to get to in just a moment, but Tripp, sounds like we have somebody on the phone lines.
Yes, we do. You can go ahead.
Who do we have?
Oh, am I on?
Yep, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, hey, you're good.
Hey, let me – you know what? And I'm not a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. My brother is. And I mean, he's got a lot up there. And as all, how – try to keep my language clean. How upset are you that the Baylor game is not – on campus this year?
Yeah. If you
have season tickets.
Yeah, very. If you're a season ticket holder, you're very upset. And the way that I have been described it is this was a complete and total blindside by Auburn. The university did not really, and they don't have to, I guess, but they didn't really tell anybody from what I've been told, season ticket holders or the city, right, the businesses. And I think it's naive for us to say that they didn't consider all of those people and parties that are involved that are impacted by a decision like this. Auburn is too big and too smart not to think about those folks. I just don't think they cared.
I don't know now. Don't give us too much credit.
Well, I'm saying they thought about it and did it anyway. That's the problem. That's why I'm upset and have a lot, and people in this town in particular are upset about it, because I think they did know the outcome of their decision. They just did it anyway.
Well, and that's one thing that just drives me crazy. And I live in Montgomery, but I went to school at Auburn, and I go to Auburn regularly. My brother has property up in Auburn. I do a lot of business in Auburn, and I love the town, the city, but it still, as big as it has gotten, that town still, the economic impact that a game day has is monumental. Yeah. I mean, you can't calculate it.
Right.
And to take one of those away and put it in a neutral site, because I'll give you an example. My son-in-law drove all the way to Texas last year and went to the Baylor game because he just wanted to have the experience of being on, you know, the campus at Baylor, and they spent a whole day walking through and doing all that. Now the Baylor fans have missed all that. They can't see Sanford Hall. They can't see you know, everything that Auburn has to offer. And we're going, and they say it's for NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are they paying us that much money?
Yeah.
Mercedes-Benz, I mean, are they paying us that much money? Because I did the numbers of the ticket sales. 56,000 versus 89,000. You get a whole lot more money if Auburn would have just said, we're going to do this for NIL. We're going to donate the whole gate straight to NIL. We'd have made a whole heck of a lot more money. So I don't understand why we did this.
Yeah.
I mean, TV money, that's the big question. You look at, you know, I come at this problem from a, you know, I grew up a Georgia Tech fan. They just sold off the Georgia Tech game last year for $1 million to Mercedes-Benz Stadium instead of having it at Bobby Dodd on campus. And I think that that's just a – they just put, you know, the people in Atlanta and the price tag that they're – and the TV networks are going to put on it to be, well, you're going to be the standalone game. You're not going to get buried between X, Y, and Z because you're at this neutral site location. It's more appealing on TV, and that's what they're going
to
do.
To his point, though, I think it is weird. And this would never happen, unfortunately, but like you said, to, you know, Auburn could have made the decision. We're going to put a more percentage of what we bring in on a game day to pay the players NIL money, because that's why they did this, is so much of the money goes directly to the NIL fund for the players. But yeah, that's one way to think about it, I guess, is Auburn could have made that decision.
Get your calculator out and do 150 times 85,795 and see how much money that is.
That's a lot.
And donate that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I guarantee it's a heck of a lot more than Auburn's getting from them. And here's my next question. Why in the living world can we not hit the ball on a Tuesday night?
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm glad that Auburn will not be playing on a Tuesday night in Hoover and will not be playing on a Tuesday night in a regional or a super regional. I am with you on that, my friends.
I'm going to send you a text thread that I've had with Daryl Double D.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to send you a text thread, and the four texts are just so hilarious.
Oh, I can
different.
Only imagine.
It was like, this team is so good. We're freaking great. What the frick? Why can't we hit the ball?
Yes, I can only imagine.
Basically what it is.
I can only imagine.
All right, well, hey, y'all do a great job. I really enjoy this show. I'm so glad I found it. And just keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing. And
will do.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate that, man.
Don't stop.
Yep, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Over from Montgomery. Yeah, appreciate you, my friend, for calling in. 334-321-1390. Speaking of Double D, Daryl Dappert, we did not have him on the show today. He had some things to attend to, hoping to get him back on the program next week, but appreciate the kind words there. And, I mean, you can hear right there, Tripp, the frustrations of someone who's not even in Auburn, somebody that comes to Auburn and attends games and enjoys the atmosphere. At the end of the day, here's what happened. Auburn Athletics had a decision to make. Do they keep it in Auburn, or do they sell it off? They weighed the options, they weighed the pros, they weighed the cons, and they chose the money. They chose the NIL money. They chose the benefit of the player versus anything else. That's not me dunking on them. That's not me hating on them. I don't agree with the decision. I think it was the wrong decision, but John Cohen and company felt that it was the right way to go. That's the decision they made, and, you know, like one person says in the text box, the players get more money to play in Atlanta. Auburn fans were not considered. This person says Auburn fans don't matter. And yeah, that's how they feel in this decision.
Imagine being a student where
you
lost a home game, like a senior. Like, you know, me and a lot of my buddies were talking about it, and we're like, you know, we don't like that they moved it from the X's and O's, like the football team version of it. I mean, yes, a lot of them are going to be in Atlanta, so like, oh yeah, we get to go to the game and just not have to travel, whatever. But it's, if I was a senior this year and it was like, well, yeah, I can't wait, we're going to have a signature, you know, no Bama, no Georgia this year, but you get that signature game against Baylor, Now it's in Atlanta, you know, and they're not thinking about the student tickets. Like, they're not thinking about how. Like, I don't even know how they're going to have it where it's going to be if students can buy tickets at a discounted price.
Yeah.
That's not a guarantee. And that's really frustrating for Auburn fans, Auburn student, Auburn alumni, everywhere except Atlanta, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you look at the home games for Auburn this year, Southern Miss, Florida, Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas, and Samford.
There's maybe two premium games on there, and one of those teams can miss a bowl game in Florida.
Yeah,
like Florida and LSU. It's bringing the LSU rivalry back, which
that's what
I enjoy.
You get. Yeah. I am happy about the LSU rivalry.
Yes, I am too. Hand
sure.
up. Hand up.
Okay, let's get to the question that Eric sent him and asking about the schedule as a whole. And he says, what is this year's Oklahoma game? Right, you remember, Tripp, you weren't here with us on the air, but how everybody talked about the Oklahoma game last year, right? Auburn went to Baylor, hosted Ball State, hosted South Alabama, went to Oklahoma, and went to Texas A&M before the bye week and hosting Georgia, right? And everybody talked about one of those two games in A&M and Oklahoma. Auburn needed to find a way to get it done, and Oklahoma felt like the easier of the two. Eric asked, which one on this year's schedule will be this year's Oklahoma game, the key game that sets the year's success or failure in motion?
You know, we were talking about it a little bit over the break, and I think I've talked myself into this one. Vanderbilt. And here is why.
Because wow.
What you just said, it's one of these two games. It's either Florida or Vanderbilt. I think it's one of those two, but you said it yourself. Which one is more likely to win? Where Vanderbilt, you should win that game, which will set you up. If you were to tell me what Florida's record would be, matter a lot more. If they end up going, 9-3 under Summerall, then it's okay. That makes sense that we lose that at home. Mm-hmm. Whatever. If they end up going 5-7, then it's the opposite. But Vanderbilt, if you're to drop that game, no matter how good they are, you're losing at home. You're losing to a team. It's not like you have the Diego Pavia effect anymore. It's Jared Curtis at QB1 probably for the Commodores, and a win in that game proves you can win at home. You can win in the SEC. You're not losing a gimme, and that might be the game that gets you to bowl eligibility into six wins. If you lose that game, then it's okay. What about Arkansas? What about Mississippi State? That's going to hurt a lot more in terms of losing that game versus winning that game is meeting expectations. I think right now, obviously you want to exceed expectations, be elite, but Auburn has not been even meeting expectations, so let's get there first before we talk about exceeding them.
What I hear from you is you chose Vanderbilt as the game that will be the one you focus on this offseason that Auburn has to have. If they want to have a quote-unquote successful season, Vanderbilt is the one
you gotta get
that Auburn has to have.
You got to par your par fours. Like,
I'm hearing from you, though, that's more so the fear of losing that game and the repercussions of losing that game rather than what it would do by winning that game. I don't think Auburn gets anything from let me say this. In year one, with a new head coach and a new team, any win is big. Any win is monumental, I think, especially with what Auburn has been through the last several years. But in the grand scheme of the season and the national perspective and things like that, Auburn doesn't get much from beating Vanderbilt at home.
Yeah, right.
In my opinion, I don't think you get anything from that.
I mean, we haven't done that in a while.
I agree. If Auburn has not been able to beat Vanderbilt at all, not often, I should say. They have, just not often. But when it comes to a game in the first few games that I think dictate what the season is going to be, I have two. I have one in the first five, and I have one in the middle of the season.
Okay.
As much as I want to pick, I don't know. I'm going back and forth between these two games. Baylor, yes, I think you can lose the Baylor game and be okay. If it's competitive and,
But that's
the
same thing as just getting on base in the top of the first inning, like no outs. Like, this is just the same thing. Yes, that's important, but
it doesn't dictate the season, don't think. The Florida game at home, I think, is the direction that I'm going. I want to pick the Tennessee game. I really do. I just think that's a lofty expectation to have in the middle of May. I think that Florida game will tell Auburn fans where this team is and who Alex Golish is very, very quickly, especially if you're 2-0 going up against John Summerall, which is no secret, a guy that Auburn wanted as their next head coach and took the Florida job, right? And a lot of fans wanted him. You win that game, you have a great chance to beat Vandy. Then you're 4-0 walking into Neyland. And if you lose that game, darn, you're 4-1 heading into the bye week before you take on Georgia. I think the Florida game is that monumental, like the Oklahoma game was last year. If you win, you have everything in front of you. If you lose to another year one head coach to a roster that's very similar to yours, I think it's like, I think that's a reality check that it is still year one with a new head coach. The other game that I pick, and this is a reach, but I'm going to it. Saturday, October 24th, when Auburn hosts LSU. I think that game has a major opportunity to be basically a kickstarter for Auburn. Because let's say that Auburn is 4-1 heading into Athens. You're competitive, but you lose. Okay, you're 4-2. Even if you're 3-3 going into that game against LSU, you welcome in what's going to be a top 20, top 15 Lane Kiffin-led team to Jordan Hare, and you pull off that upset, and now you have Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Samford, and Alabama in front of you. That could be the game that jumpstarts this thing and says, okay, here we go. Auburn's going to be a competitor, a thorn in the side, if nothing else. So I think early on, Florida is that game compared to Oklahoma a year ago. But man, how cool could that LSU game be in late October?
Yeah, I mean, that would be impressive, especially, you know, you haven't defeated LSU in Jordan-Hare Stadium for a long time. Last time you beat them was Brian Harsin year one. I mean, granted, you didn't play them for a couple years there in the middle. But I think that having LSU is the game to jumpstart. Like, what is it jumpstarting at the end? It's game number six. It's game number seven. It's not like a...
Yeah, you're going into the easier part of your schedule.
You're going into the easier part of your schedule with, you know, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Stanford. Yes, you have Alabama. Obviously, anything can happen. But let's, you know, it's in Tuscaloosa. I feel like, though, you're overlooked, like... Granted, Ole Miss, I think, is the purest 50-50 toss-up where you don't know what they're going to look like. If they're going to have Trinidad Chambers, then that's going to be maybe a game that they're going to be a top 20 team with Pete Golding. But I think that with the Florida game, looking at their schedule, you know, how much stock do you put in if they are to go 5-7 or 4-8 when it's like you have Florida Atlantic, Campbell, you go to Auburn, you play Pete Golding and Ole Miss. You got to go to Columbia, Missouri. I know a lot of that game right there is going to benefit on the health of Ahmad Hardy. You play a South Carolina team that, you know, they're really questioning if Beamer's the guy there. You got to go to Austin. You got to play Georgia, Oklahoma, at Kentucky, which you guys are high on, Vanderbilt, Florida State. If Florida comes out of that season 4-8, with one of those loss, Auburn's just another loss for them, not a season defining
Florida will be better
loss.
They'll be better than 4-8, I think.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, sure. Like, if they're not going to make a bowl game, and Auburn's just one of their losses instead of a signature loss for them, how does it a signature win for Auburn?
I think in that game, and we got to get to break, but I think that game means a lot for both fan bases, but in that scenario that you lay out, yeah, in that reason, it would be another loss for Florida, but that would be the first signature win for Alex Golish at Auburn.
Sure.
People won't look at the Baylor win that way. They would look at the Florida win that way, especially being inside Jordan Hare. So, great question in the text box. Great conversation here as well. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line right after this.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line in Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We've talked a ton of different topics from Auburn baseball last night against Jack State to Auburn football, their game time against Baylor being announced, and just how monumental that game could be to start the Alex Golish campaign. Plus, we talked to Jordan Hill. of Dogs 247. No Daryl Dapperts today. We'll pick back up with him next week. But all that and more on today's show. So if you missed it, be sure to go and check it out in the podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And coming up on tomorrow's show, it is Thursday. We'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network get a full series preview of Georgia. Excited to have him on at 2:30 tomorrow. We'll talk Auburn baseball versus the Dogs. We'll also have our guy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC join us to do a full preview of the final season or final series of the year in the SEC in the regular season. Plus, we'll talk some more Auburn baseball ourselves, and we should have some fun on the show tomorrow. So that's what we'll have here. But be sure that you tune in over on Tiger Country 104.5 as Christian Griffin will be going live in about 20 minutes or so. He'll be on the air on the Lee Scott Sports Network for Lee Scott Academy Baseball. The Warriors in the Final Four taking on Glenwood, their rival Gators, in the Final Four. Winner moves on to state. Best of three series. Two games today. The if game tomorrow. So be sure you tune in. Tiger Country 104.5 and the Radio Alabama app. So he'll be with us.
Hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He'll be with us for some portion of it tomorrow regardless. Yeah. If there's a sweep one way or the other, he'll be here all day. But if he has to go back for game three, he'll be here for the first 30 minutes or so. But that's it. We're out of time. We're out of here. The Drive's coming up next from 4 to 6 here on ESPN 106.7. We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For Trip Upton and Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.